Please turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 5, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. I welcome you to this new season of Bible class studies. Welcome our webcast viewers also, and we pray that the Lord will meet with us and touch our hearts as we gather together week by week, and that we'll know His presence and His blessing in a very real way. So let's just come here to John 5. I want to read the final part of this chapter, beginning at verse number 39. John 5, verse 39. The Lord speaks and He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And ye will not come to Me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in My Father's name, and ye receive Me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe My words?" And the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His own precious truth. The Pentateuch is the title that is given to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And that word Pentateuch can be divided into two parts. The first part, penta, comes from the Greek word for five. It is believed, actually, that that particular word is derived from certain original words that signify the five fingers of the hand. And then the second part of the word Pentateuch, tuch itself, refers to a tool or an implement that pertains to the field of writing and literature. It's a word that signifies a volume or a vessel or a container. And therefore the word Pentateuch, as it's used to describe the first five books of the Bible, simply means five volumes, five vessels, or even five containers. And it reveals, the word reveals, that these five volumes stand together. They belong together. They are the first five books of the Bible. They are a unit. Now, in this Bible class, in this season into which we're now entering, it is my purpose to give some consideration to the Pentateuch, to the first five books of the Bible. And that's a large section of Scripture. What I want to do is really give you an introduction to it as we move along and look at it to some degree and hope thereby that you will gain an insight into what the first five books of the Bible are really all about. We are able to say, we must say, that this first section of the Bible, the five books of Moses, are foundational to all of the Bible. And that which is in them has come under fierce attack. The very fact that they are regarded by Orthodox people, by Orthodox believers, as being a unit and standing together has drawn the fire of modernists and liberals, and down through time, especially the last few hundred years, men have risen up and they have vehemently attacked the five books of Moses from every angle that they possibly can do so. And the great truths of the creation and the fall of man, the entrance of sin, the Noahic flood, and all these other details that are found in these great books has all been held up to scorn and ridicule by these liberals, by these modernists who hate the Word of God. Now, these truths that I've mentioned, the creation and the fall and the flood and the call of Abraham and so on, they are all fundamental to all of Scripture. And when the liberal modernistic attack has been made upon them, the ultimate goal that they have is to attack all of Scripture. Because if we can destroy this foundation, supposedly, as they think, well, then you can destroy the rest of the Bible, because all of the Bible stands upon the foundation of the five books of Moses, and especially on the first few chapters of Genesis. And of course, that also means that when they make their attack upon those chapters and upon these five books and seek, as they see things, to point out faults and failures and discrepancies and therefore undermine the authority of the books of Moses, they believe they can go on from there to launch their attack upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, because Christ, of course, is the one who's central to all Scripture. And if there's any question over these earlier parts of the Bible, well, then men will raise their questions over Jesus Christ. So this is why it's so important to understand the vital place that the Pentateuch holds in the whole volume of sacred literature. And I felt the Lord lay in my heart just to have a look with you at the Pentateuch over these coming weeks and months by His help and by His grace. We want to give some thought today, to begin with, to the authorship of the Pentateuch. And that is a point that is really focused on by the unbelieving infidels, by their scorn and by their skepticism. They will attribute the writing of these five books not to Moses, but to a plurality of writers, a variety of authors. They say that these books were penned over a long period of time, that some of them, parts of them, were even written after Israel's captivity in Babylon. And someone sat down away at that late stage in Old Testament history, and he wrote at least parts of the Pentateuch. So they deny the Mosaic authorship of the five books. And you might say, well, we believe Moses wrote these books. Well, if a skeptic came to you today, could you prove it? That's the question. Can we prove that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible? May I say that we reject, of course, the skepticism and the infidelity of these infidels and these modernists. And that has been the case by all Orthodox men down through time since these liberal thinkers arose. Their thinking has been rejected completely by the servants of God. And therefore it is the historic, an orthodox view of godly men that Moses was the writer of the first five books of the Bible. And as I say, I want to give some attention to that issue. We want to base our thoughts on what the Lord says here, actually, in the final part of John chapter 5. You will notice toward the end of the chapter, in verses 46 and 47, that the Lord says some very important things. He says in the end of verse 46, He, that is Moses, wrote of me. Then he goes on to say, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, notice first of all the setting of the Lord's teaching here at the close of John chapter 5. Start at verse 39 where I began to read. And it says there, search the Scriptures. And those words may also be read this way, ye search the Scriptures. Both translations are fine, because when you go to the original language, both translations can be held up by what the Greek says. But think about it this way, ye search the Scriptures. And what the Lord is actually saying here is that this is what the Pharisees were always doing. They were always searching the Scriptures. They spent a lot of time and study in the Scriptures. And remember at this point, as I've said to you before on different occasions, when the New Testament uses the term the Scriptures, whether Christ or the apostles is the speaker, it always refers to the Old Testament. And that's obvious, because when the Lord was on the earth and the apostles, for much of their time, were on the earth, there was no New Testament. That means that every reference to the Scriptures is to the Old Testament. That's what the Lord means here when He says, ye search the Scriptures. And these Pharisees believed themselves to be skilled and to be astute in their knowledge of the Old Testament. So this is what the Lord is saying. You are a people who search the Scriptures. And they did search the Scriptures. There's no doubt about that. They were always poring over the Old Testament, going through it meticulously. And then look at verse 39 again, and it goes on to say this, "For in them ye think, ye have eternal life." By which the Lord means that the Pharisees believed that they would be rewarded for their search of the Bible, that God would give them eternal life because they were so diligent in their study of the Word of God. Their search and study of Scripture actually, therefore, to them was a work by which they believed that they would gain favor with God. They believed that they were God's men, that they were teachers raised up by God, and therefore, as they studied and they searched, they were actually doing so in order to try to gain favor and merit with the Lord. So look at verse 45, where this is verified. And it says there, "Had ye believed Moses," sorry, verse 45, "do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust." Notice those words. Moses, in whom ye trust. And that bears out what you read in verse 39. "In them ye think ye have eternal life." They believed that such was their study, and so wonderful was it that God was bound to reward them with salvation. And therefore, as they studied, they were trusting in their study. That's what those words mean. Moses, in whom ye trust. They were trusting in their study of the Old Testament, and especially the books of Moses, to gain favor with God. Their chief focus, you see, was on the first five books, as we believe this to be, where it talks about Moses here, if you believe Moses. Well, how are you going to believe Moses if there's not something that Moses wrote? And therefore, the Jews actually did believe that Moses wrote those five books. At least they were right in that point. But this is the thing. Their chief focus was on the books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. Why? Because in those books, God's law is revealed in its fullest form, its pristine form. The moral law, then of course the ceremonial law, and even the civil law of Israel. So they were always poring over those books of the law. They called the Pentateuch, we call it the Pentateuch today, but they called it the Torah. First five books of the Bible the Jews called the Torah. The word Torah means law. So they're always talking about the law. And this was meant here by Moses. The law, the first five books, the Torah. The Pharisees were students of the Torah, and they trusted in their imagined obedience to the Torah and knowledge of the Torah as a ground of acceptance with Almighty God. So again, those words, Moses, in whom ye trust. That is, they rested in their efforts to obey the law that they read and they studied. And that's why the New Testament has this term over and over again that you're all familiar with, the term, the works of the law. And remember that term is always associated in the New Testament with those who try to gain justification before God as a result of their own obedience, their own works, the works of the law. And for the Jew, the works of the law is a reference to their effort to try to obey the law of God, the Torah, as we have it in these first five books. And therefore, this is what the Lord is showing here. They did search the Scriptures, but they believed that as a result they would have eternal life, and they would be brought into favor with God. But then look again at verse 39. How important this verse is. And at the close of the verse, the Lord says, "And they are they which testify of me." They are they which testify of me. And we'll see this more. We've seen it on previous occasions, but we'll see it more a little later today, that the Lord is the subject of all Scripture. And in this context, the Lord is revealing that He's the subject of the books of Moses. Go down to verse 46 again. "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." What a tremendous and clear statement that is. He wrote of me. And therefore the Jews, in all their searching, here's the problem, here's the terrible tragedy. They failed to see Christ. They did not discern the Lord in what they wrote, and they missed the Savior altogether. So this is the setting here. The Lord's addressing these Pharisees about their study of the Old Testament, and especially, we certainly believe, that the books of Moses. This is the setting and the scope of what the Lord is teaching here in John 5. But in what he does state in this passage, there are certain thoughts to be gleaned concerning Moses with reference to the Scriptures. And what the Lord says here, he makes clear a number of very important things that I want us to observe, because here we have the Lord's teaching on the authorship of the Pentateuch. That's my theme this morning. Who actually wrote the Pentateuch? And we find here that the Lord makes it clear that Moses wrote it. And he says a number of things about Moses with regard to this issue of the Pentateuch or the first five books. Notice here, and this is a very simple thing, but it's important. Moses could write. Moses could write. Verse 46 again, he wrote of me. Verse 47, his writings. If you'll turn with me to Acts 7 for a moment, and this historical background is interesting and also important, because you see, the skeptic will say, way back then, there was no writing. Nobody could write. And yet the Lord says Moses could write. So who do we believe, Christ or the infidel? But turn to Acts chapter 7. Look at verse 22 and notice what it says there. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And those are very telling terms that you have there in Acts 7, verse 22. Moses was a man who had vast learning and a man who had tremendous power of words. We're told here in these words, he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Do you ever think about the fact that God in his providence had Moses placed in Pharaoh's palace? Why was he there? He was there to get the best education that he could get in his day. That's why he was there. You see, God does use educated men. And Moses has a tremendous task ahead of him. To lead Israel, to guide God's people, and to be the writer of the first five books as we have them in the Bible. And therefore God took Moses when he was just a child, and you know all that happened to him in the story there in Exodus 2. It was all under God's control. This is the thing we should always see about the difficulties and the trials, as I mention this as an aside, of the Lord's people. There's always a purpose in them. And Moses' poor mother, her heart was broken at first when her child was discovered. And even before that, when the decree was made that all the male children must be killed, and she defied the king and the edict of that wicked man and hid her child for 3 months, along with her husband, that is he. No, she didn't hide him. The both of them hid the child. And then the time came they could hide him no more. And she entrusted him to the Lord. And the Lord took Moses in his own wonderful way, put him into Pharaoh's palace, and caused Jochebed to be his real mother, to be his nurse during his childhood. Isn't the Lord wonderful how he undertakes? But here's the point. He put Moses there that Moses might become the mighty man that he was in terms of learning. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He goes on to say, he was mighty in words. Moses knew his ABC more than that. He was mighty in words. Now, Moses was not an eloquent speaker. You'll find that from Exodus. He actually lamented to the Lord, why have you called me to lead these people? I'm not good at speaking. Well, maybe he's making an excuse. I don't know. The Lord wasn't pleased with it at that point and said, well, Aaron will be your spokesman. But while we may not fully understand what was going on in Moses' heart at that point, there's one thing sure. The Word of God says he was a learned man and he was mighty in words. And I believe that since he appeared to have some kind of a problem with his speech and was not eloquent in that sense, the reference here is especially to how he was able to write. He was mighty in words. That word mighty is the common New Testament word dunamis, which refers to ability, the ability to perform something. Capability, in other words. So Moses was a very capable man, a man with power when it came to words. He was therefore capable as a writer. And the same word is used of Apollos. Remember Apollos, who was the friend of Paul, and who we are told, and the friend of Aquila and Priscilla. And you remember what it says of Apollos there in Acts chapter 18, 24. The very same word is used. Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. A mighty in the Scriptures. The same word. So Moses was a writer. And the Bible testifies that Moses was a learned man. And he was mighty in words and skilled in the use of words. So that's one thing to notice here. The second thing that the Lord points out is that the second thing we notice is that Moses wrote a number of writings, a plurality of writings. Here, back in John chapter 5, you will see this in verse 47. It says, "Ye believe not his writings." And it's plural. Writings. Now, the word writings in the original text is pronounced grammas. And you know what we get from grammas, grammar. It actually comes from the verb grapho, which means I write. It is the Greek word grapho, and from that you get graphics and so on, and photograph, and all those words that we have in the English language that come from this Greek source. So the word for writings here is grammas. It can also be translated letters, and it's translated that way in 2 Timothy 3:15, where Paul says to Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures," and it actually literally reads, "From a child you've known the Holy Letters." And the reference there is actually to the very alphabet of the Old Testament, the Hebrew alphabet. And therefore this point adds to the ability that we've seen about Moses already with regard to his education, with regard to his ability to write. Moses was a man who knew the things that are literary. He had an understanding, had a great understanding of writing and letters and words. The Lord's telling us this right here. But the point I want you to see is, especially as I've underlined, that the Lord attributes a plurality of writings to Moses right here. He says you would have believed his writings. Now think carefully about that statement. What does it tell you? It tells you, yes, he wrote a plurality of writings, but furthermore, it tells you that they were extant, as the word is. Even as the Lord spoke, they were still in existence. And furthermore, they were available to Christ's generation. And furthermore, they were being studied by the Pharisees. That's what the words infer and make very clear. You would have believed his writings. What's the Lord saying? You have Moses' writings. They are still in existence. They're available to you today. Notice that. Those are very important little points as we dig into this passage and we see how the Lord is actually bringing out the fact that Moses wrote certain parts of Scripture. And he underlines to our minds and our hearts today that Moses wrote a plurality of writings, and they were available, and they were still in existence, and these Jews were actually still reading them and studying them. Now, the vital thing to notice as well is that the Lord identifies Moses' writings as being an integral part of the Scripture. Now, compare verse 39 with these closing few verses. Verse 39, notice again the opening words of the Lord's confrontation here with these Pharisees. And he says, "Ye search the Scriptures." But then you see he moves on to speak specifically of the writings of Moses, which means that Moses' writings, in the Lord's estimation, in the Lord's reckoning here, the writings of Moses belong to the Scriptures. That's very easily concluded. He says, "You're searching the Scriptures, but you don't believe what Moses wrote. Which tells you right away that the Lord is saying what Moses wrote belongs to the Scriptures. And that raises the question then, well, where in Scripture do we find Moses' writings? Because the Lord is saying here that they are there. And again, I say to you, who do you believe? The modernist, the skeptic of today, and there still are plenty of them, who will pour scorn upon Moses as an author of the Bible and upon his learning and upon his ability and say there was no such thing as writing. Do you believe that man or do you believe Jesus Christ? Well, we all know who we believe, and it's good to be able to look at the Lord's writings here and his statements here and see what he says about these things. Now, the answer is given by Christ. That is that question, where do we find Moses' writings? Well, the answer is given by the Lord. And I want you to go now to Luke 24. Luke 24. And look with me at verse 44. And this is a verse that I'm sure all of us here today just about know very well. Luke 24, 44. And he that is the Lord said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Now notice here the Lord's use of the term the law of Moses, by which he refers to one major section of the Old Testament Scriptures. In this verse, he gives us the threefold Jewish breakdown of the Old Testament. He talks about the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. I've explained to you on different occasions that when you come to look at the term the prophets, that covers an awfully large section of the Old Testament. It covers not only those whom we know as the prophets, like Isaiah through to Daniel, and then on through the minor prophets, but it also includes the books like the 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles and so on. Those are all regarded by the Jews as belonging to the section called the prophets. And then, of course, the Psalms is not only a reference to the book of Psalms itself, but all the poetical books of the Old Testament, like Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon and so on. They're all in that. And this is not something that we invent, this idea. This is historically verified. The Jews broke down the Old Testament into three parts. And that's something that even the modernist believes, because you can't get away from it. The Jews were the custodians of the Old Testament. And this is how they divided the Old Testament. And that's what the Lord's doing here. He's using the Jewish division of the Old Testament. And one part of it, he entitles the law of Moses, which means that according to Christ, one major division of the Old Testament came from the hand or the pen of this man Moses. And this is a vital point. Notice here that the eternal Son of God, who actually authorized the writing and the production of Scripture, testifies right here that one main section of it was written by Moses. That's what he is saying when he talks about the law of Moses. The Jews understood that to be the five books that we know as Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And the Lord says here, there's a section called the law of Moses. But in this passage, he does something else. Go back to verse 27. And this is where the thought really comes out very clearly. Notice what it says in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And we've often looked at these verses and been thrilled in our hearts at the thought of what happened that night in the lives of these two men on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord came alongside them and he conducted a Bible study with them and he took them through all of the Old Testament. He took them right through the entire Old Testament scriptures. But notice that in doing so, he went to the beginning. That's a vital word there in verse 27. Beginning at Moses. And Moses refers to what he then calls the law of Moses in verse 44. And what he calls in John 5:47, the writings of Moses. So he's not talking here about Moses the man or as a person. He's talking about Moses and what he wrote. And it says, and beginning at Moses. Now you notice the importance of those words, and beginning at Moses. What does it tell you, that term, that form of language? It tells you that since the Lord is conducting a Bible study through the entire Old Testament scripture, he has to begin somewhere, and he begins at the beginning. That's what it means. It says, beginning at Moses. He didn't begin with Malachi. He began with Moses. Why? Because Moses' writings form the beginning of the Bible. And in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us the answer to that question. Where do we find Moses' writings? He is essentially saying here that Moses' writings are at the beginning of the Old Testament. They are at the very head of Scripture. And in that wonderful way, the Lord reveals to you and me today that Moses is the author of what he calls, the Lord calls, the law, and has been historically viewed, that is, the law, as being those first five books from Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And in this way, we deduce from the teachings of Jesus Christ that the author of the Pentateuch is this man Moses. There's no doubt about this at all. It's not that we began today, and I certainly believe I can speak for all who are here. It's not that we began today with a doubt in our minds or a thought in our minds. Was Moses really the writer of these books? No, we began with that clearly embedded in our thoughts. Moses was the writer. But as I said at the outset, if somebody came along to you and maybe would come along to you tomorrow, could you prove it? Could you say to that person, well, if you're going to be honest now and if you believe the Bible is God's word, would you come with me to the Bible? And I want to show you how it can be proved that Moses wrote these first five books. So could you do that? I hope you can do it now. Because it's very important, even to teach your children or somebody in your family circle, and give maybe somebody who's honestly inquiring, somebody who's been influenced by a skeptic or a liberal, and has sat under teaching that's false and just doesn't know the answer. And while would not reject Christ's teaching, yet could not actually work it out from the Bible. You might meet somebody like that. And it would be very important that you'd be able to say, well, here is the answer to this question. Moses wrote these five books. There's absolutely no doubt about this. And you'd be able to take them to what we've seen here from the Lord Jesus Christ and set it forth in a manner that they would benefit and in a fashion from which they would be able to say, well, now I can see it for myself. And I trust that that kind of application of what we've done today will show you the importance of understanding these matters of Moses being the writer of the first five books of the Bible. And therefore, rejection of the Mosaic authorship of this part of Scripture is actually to do this. It's to brand Christ as a deceiver. Christ says he wrote of me. Christ speaks of his writings. Now, if the skeptic is right, then the Lord's deceiving us. Those are the two alternatives. And of course, with all of our hearts and souls and minds, we utterly reject such a thing, such a notion, that the Lord would be deceiving his people. No, Christ is the faithful and true witness. Christ is the one who reveals to us these marvelous and vital, important truths that we have considered today about the authorship of the five books. And I pray that you will be blessed through this and encouraged in your own heart, and that you will go on with me in these studies in the Pentateuch, and that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. And as we saw earlier in what the Lord taught on that day, or said on that day when he addressed those Pharisees, he wrote of me. And in all our study, in all our understanding, let us look for Christ, because Christ is the one of whom Moses wrote, as well as being the one of whom everybody else wrote, in terms of Scripture. And there our hearts are blessed and our needs are met, spiritually speaking, as we see the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to us for his glory and for his praise. Let us bow in prayer. Let's unite our hearts together at the throne of heavenly grace. And dear Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for the opportunity that we have been given to open up the book and for another season study it. We thank thee for what we have seen today from thy Son, our dear Savior, his testimony. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to cherish the words of our Savior. Help us to draw from what he shows us. Help us to benefit in our own hearts from what he teaches us. O Lord, we thank thee for the first five books of the Bible. And we pray, O God, as we would study something of them, thou wilt help us. And thou wilt open them up to us and give us understanding. May our hearts be blessed and strengthened thereby. And may our souls be encouraged. So be with us now and bless us in the time of prayer, right into the worship service then. And may Christ be glorified. May there be a sense of thy nearness as we worship thee throughout this day. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.